The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, Bic Truss. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Chris, I don't want this to turn into hyperbole every week, but, you know, over the last 10 years, we've watched a lot of bad football. And I was trying to think about it last night and this morning. I don't know if I've ever been more embarrassed to be a Giants fan after what I saw yesterday. And I know there's backups, but I'm tired of hearing that.
Oh, stop with that shit now.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. So, Chris, there were some things in that game yesterday that were some of the most disturbing things I've seen as a Giants fan. And that, you know, and I'm throwing in the DeSean Jackson punt return, right? But just decision-making. We'll get into all of it. But, Chris, I think I echo a lot of Giant fans this morning when they are questioning literally every single aspect of this organization right now and what a crap show it is right now.
So, Jerry, you know, I put a tweet out last night. So what happens is, you know, the game is finished. And I say about an hour and a half later, I get a whole statistical breakdown of everything, right, on my phone.
Yeah.
From Michael Eisen of the Giants, right? It's Giants.com. Mm-hmm. So I see this one statistic, which, you know, Jerry, all these games and, you know, you look at all these stats, a lot of times things get by you, you know, you don't really realize it, you know?
Sure.
So I see the one statistic about how the Giants have not had 300 or more yards for four straight games. And I'm like, I'm looking at my phone, Jerry, and I'm literally saying to myself, could this be possible?
Yeah.
Then a friend of mine sends me a text saying, hey, dude, I don't know if you realize this, but a Giants wide receiver, a running back, hasn't scored since October.
I saw that one.
I had to look that one up. I'm like, no, this can't be true. And in today's NFL, that is utterly embarrassing. This whole unit is embarrassing. Yesterday, this isn't the 1972 no-name Dolphin defense out there, okay? This is a good, pretty good D that's played really well lately. And the Giants embarrass themselves. 250 yards of offense. Glennon, who started off pretty good, totally forget about it after that. He showed why he's a career backup. They couldn't run the ball as usual. The offensive line is going to need three guys next year, okay? Three, because we don't know what we have at Lemieux. If we're going to pull that crap again, like, well, we have confidence in this line. Come on, stop. I think Joe Judge has made and Dave Gettleman have made fools out of themselves now coming in this season saying, yeah, we were good with the offensive line.
Chris, I would even argue you might need four because of Gates' severity of his injury.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that right now because Gates is scheduled to be okay for training camp and back. Yeah. So it's an utter embarrassment offensively. It went from Garrett, who Judge basically, you know, made a scapegoat, right? All right, we gotta do different things because Garrett is not getting his offense in sync.
Yeah.
Well, the last two games, Freddie Kitchens is in there.
Yeah.
And it's the same old stuff. Now, Kitchens has done a few different things. Tried to get Saquon a little involved, you know, in some routes out of the backfield. Saquon all of a sudden can't catch the ball.
Right.
You know, tries to take some shots with Galladay, but the execution's not there. You know, just because you have Galladay and you decide we're going to run some verticals with him, doesn't mean you throw the ball when there's two guys on him.
Right.
You got to see Howard dropping back there. He's, you know, this is a veteran quarterback. Didn't see it. Tried to force a ball. Howard, one of the better corners in football, comes out with the interception.
By the way, Chris, real quick, a veteran quarterback who I noticed all game long throws off his back foot, even when he has a clean pocket. He does. He does it every single time. And I thought, how the hell is anyone noticing this? He throws off his back foot even when it's a clean pocket. And that's why his balls sail constantly.
Yeah, and he's not very accurate at
all. No, he stinks.
Look, Jerry, you remember what I used to tweet in training camp. Like, this guy, watching him every day, but this is a guy the Giants and Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman decided, well, we're going to bring this guy in as a backup, you know, because he's an upgrade over Colt McCoy.
Right.
And you have to sit here right now after watching, and don't get me wrong, McCoy doesn't have the arm anymore, but either does Tua, you know. The point being is that you have to sit here and say, wow, was Mike Glennon really an upgrade over Colt McCoy?
No, they would have won that game if they had Colt McCoy. I'm glad you said that. I thought that today in the car, taking my kid to school as I was stewing. They would have won that game if they had Colt McCoy back there.
So, you know, this is part of the process of talent evaluation, all right? You know, we look at Matt Peart, and I'm going to say this right now before we get into this game. Matt Peart better be starting a right tackle Sunday against the Chargers. Why, Jerry? Well, dude, he is a third-round pick, and the season's over.
Yeah.
So you have to see what you have in this kid.
Right.
Stop coaching now, like, you know, with your alpha male speeches, and we're going to put the guys we feel's the best. I get all that, but guess what? The alpha male speeches and everything that the Mariners want to hear, football nerdness with the lingo and all that crap, isn't winning football games. So now you have to start, okay, well, you know what? So the, you know, guys, we got to put Peart in here. He is a third-round pick. If he's a total disaster, and if he's a swing gate and a quarter, all right, we'll get him out. We'll put Nate back in. But we have to see what we have here with this kid.
Right.
Because the season's over. Don't coach like it's not. I don't want to hear about mathematical crap.
Chris.
Okay, yeah. It's over.
Yeah,
it's actually been over. They should have never won the Eagle game. All right, please. I mean, if that Eagle game, you're fortunate to win that. The season is over. Hey, Joe. Two things, Jerry. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Yeah, two things. One, you got to start coaching like you're going to be here next year. You got to start looking at some other things if you're here next year.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen there either.
Nope.
Okay. And stop, you know, stop with this. Well, you know, we're going to put the best guy. Yeah. Okay. That's great. But get Peart out there. And you know what? Even when Adoree comes back, let Aaron get some more outside snaps. Put Adoree in that slot at times, because let Aaron Robinson play some outside. Or better yet, when Adoree's back, which he probably won't be this week with that quad, but make sure Aaron's in that slot. Right, Jerry? He's your future.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear stuff like, well, you know, in practice this week or on turf, when it's 39 degrees above, we have this guy playing, you know, trying to overthink everything like Judge does.
Yeah.
Okay? Get the future kids out there. The season's over. Give them a look. Whoever needs to get a look. And I've got to look at the whole roster. Whoever needs to get a look, Jerry.
Ellerson Smith. I think he got some more time yesterday, but, you know, Ellerson
there's
Smith.
Another kid. Right.
Another one. Yeah. Yep. And
Quincy Roches. I know they are playing. I know Aziz is playing. He's been starting.
Yeah, but keep it up.
Get Carter out of there.
Please.
I know we made a few plays here and there, but is he the future, Jerry?
No, he's gone.
Get him out.
Out.
Let him play 16 snaps a game. Get him out.
Yep.
Keep Aziz. Keep Quincy Roches. Keep the Ellison Smiths. These guys are the so-called future. They've shown enough where they deserve to be part of the future. Obviously, I'm not. Obviously, Aziz. But I'm talking about the Ellison Smiths, the Roches, right?
Yeah.
So don't give me your crap about, well, we're going to have sub-packages for this offense, or we're going to do this pack. Hey, Joe. Your Belichick philosophy like that and all that crap, sub packages, and we're going to game plan. It's not working, dude.
Yeah.
So, and last night, I'm looking at the defense against Tua, and did they not know Tua was going to throw intermediate passes all game?
I mean, that's pathetic. That's pathetic.
I mean, you see Jalen Waddle, easy 7-yard outs, easy 9-yard outs, easy 9-yard slants. Yeah. You know, Devontae Parker got his feet under him after coming off the IR. He was killing him in the second half. Bradbury's just not the same player, Jerry, as he was last year.
He's not.
And credit to the defense, Jerry. You know, they did keep the Giants in the game.
Oh, yeah, dude. You give up 20 points, you should win.
You should win the game.
Overall. Come on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you got to win the game. Right. You gave up under 300 yards. Tua did some things, but it wasn't like the wasn't the defense's
fault. Yeah, the defense annoyed me, but I mean, they did good enough to win. It really gave up 17 points, really. But anyway, 20 points, you should win the game now in this day and age. Some of the things that Judge did that kind of they're related to what you said about we play to win. I don't know about you, but when he tried that 56-yard field goal with 14 seconds left, I just laughed. I go, Joe, this is kind of pathetic right now. So you're going to go for the 56-yarder and then go for an onside kick and then throw up a Hail Mary. Like, Joe, this game's over, but I know you're coaching to win. You're doing everything you can to win. That, to me, kind of summed up a lot of where Judge is right now.
I'm sorry, Jay. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Finish. I'll get it. Okay, finish.
Well, I want to get to the tweet you put out. So you go first.
Oh, I was just going to say, Jay, how about early in the game when they had like 4th-and-3 or something, around midfield, and he punted?
Yeah, Chris Myers, the
announcer, was like, are you guys kidding me?
There were a couple other things in that game that just really disturbed me, and some of them are petty, because I admit I watch the game and I just get aggravated at everything. But okay, the one where there was 6 seconds left in the first quarter, The play clock is a split second behind the game clock. You can see it. And he called timeout for whatever reason. I think he called to complain to the ref and just yell at him. That had to be it. Because what the hell was the other reason that he did it? And the other, that one, and two more, Chris, when, and this is where the little more of a petty one, but when Riley Dixon once again shanks a punt, he starts yelling at Cam Brown coming off the field. And I thought, my God, Joe, you seem to target Cam Brown every week for something. Can you, one time, just give Riley Dixon some heat on the sideline. Just once. Can you yell at him? Can you yell at someone else besides Cam Brown? Because you know what, Joe? The rest of the guys on the team, especially offense, are doing crap. Stop yelling at Cam Brown all the time. And then the last thing, and then I'll let you go. 2nd and 23. You call a timeout to keep it from 2nd and 28 when your offense can't move 5 yards, but you know that extra 5 is going to make a big deal. So you use timeouts like they're nothing. This guy uses timeouts, like I said before, like they're Tic Tacs. He just gets rid of them. He doesn't care. So, dude, so many things in that game annoyed the hell out of me. Those 3 stood out. 4, really. The 56-yarder at the end was a joke. Those 4 things to me just like I walked out of it saying, asking, do we have the guy? Because right now, no. That's another thing we got to change. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry, man.
Jerry, I think they're good points, bro. Look, 2nd and 23, like you said. Dude, just take the delay.
Right.
Look, Judge right now looks clueless on the sidelines. Clueless, dude. Using these timeouts. Yell, like you said, you know what? You want to yell at somebody? Why don't you yell at Barkley when he comes off the field because you can't catch a pass?
There you go.
How about that?
Right.
You know, like you said, you use a timeouts like Tic Tacs. Once again, you look at the sidelines and the whole sideline looks like it's a mess down there.
Ugh.
He's looking around, Judge, this and that. He's yelling at this one, called timeouts. Like you said, that's amateur hour. I put something out yesterday. I forgot what the hell I was even talking about. Now I put, this is amateur hour. It was probably one of the many possessions, but I was like, this is amateur hour right now.
I have all your tweets up. There were some gold yesterday.
I mean, I'm looking at like you said, what are we using a timeout there for, dude? At the end of the other quarter, what it looked like to me was the game clock and the play clock was the same.
Yeah,
and you're burning a timeout.
The game clock was actually a split second ahead. You could see you could see it changing right before the play clock. There was no excuse to call time there unless he wanted to throw a temper tantrum with the ref, which is what it looked like he did.
Yeah, well, the refs aren't the reason why you're 4-8.
Right.
You know? The refs are not the reason why you can't even get 300 yards a game of offense.
Right.
So, and what was your other point? Cam Brown? Well, I didn't see that, but yeah, you said that to me before. And like you said, you know what? Why don't you get on, if you're going to do that, dude, Cam Brown's not the reason why you're losing football game. Matter of fact, he's one of your best special teams out there, you know?
Right. The other one was the 56-yarder at the end of the game. I laughed at that.
Right.
That was just annoying.
Obviously the thinking is you got to cut it, try to get the onside.
Great, Joe. Coach to win.
Look, Jerry, you got a better chance of, than freaking than me playing goalie for your boy Igor there for the next three games when he's out, you know, for the Rangers. So
Thank God it's only three.
But, Jerry, I get the point, I guess, what Judge is thinking there. You know, I get it, I guess. You know, you, like I said, it would have been a miracle.
You know what it was, dude? It was on top of everything else. It was just like, oh, this is pathetic. Oh, but, God.
But you know what? For a guy who came in with this aggressive alpha male type speeches, right. You know, we're going to go to win every time.
Right.
Once again, early in the game, fourth and three, I think it was, Jerry, or fourth and four and around midfield on a 46. Yeah. They punt. Joe gives the thing. You know, we're playing a field position game. Like, dude.
Look, you have the 86 Giants defense. Like,
I know, dude. Stop now. I mean, you got to show you guys. I know the offense is horrific, but, dude, you still got to show you guys. Guys, I'm going to be aggressive. Last night, I saw Vic Fangio go for it on fourth and seven around midfield, and he was playing Patrick Mahomes.
Right. That's a great point.
But the point being is that, you know, Fangio was showing this guy, hey, guys, we're here to win this damn game. You know what I mean, Jerry?
Right, right.
And all year, Judge has shown that hey, we'd rather go with Riley Dixon, who, of course, puts it in the end zone, and, you know, and play field position and this and that. But it's not working. It's not working. So you look at Miami. They couldn't run the ball. They're not a good running team. Giants did a good job there. Tua hurt him. When he needed that last drive to move the sticks, he made some throws, some nice catches. Giants couldn't get the stop. They got no turnovers yesterday, which, you know, which is something they've
first
been
time.
Doing all year, first time all year.
Yeah.
Not that it matters because the offense can't convert any turnovers into points anyway.
Yeah.
But they didn't get any extra possessions. Glennon winds up, supposedly he got a concussion. I don't know what's going to happen with him this week. Protocol. And Daniel, we don't know what's going on with Daniel. They're all out flying to Arizona now for a bonding trip in week 13.
It's a good thing they're not coming home, actually. This worked out for Judge. Good thing he's not coming back. He's got to meet the media anyway, you guys. But I'm just saying it's probably good that he didn't come home.
They're going to go out there and they couldn't run. Look, so many third and longs again against Miami. And the pass pro really wasn't bad.
No.
How many times did Glennon have time to throw?
At the end of the game, it was like he's got time to throw.
Yeah, he had time. They got a couple of coverage sacks at the end, you know.
Yeah.
Glennon, you know, holding on to the ball, gets sacked. You know, Glennon's a backup. This really, you saw it yesterday. You know, why is a career backup? But the offensive line for that part, but of course the offensive line just cannot run block. And then it's the same straightforward blocking, no counters. Then they did some zones, white zones, and that worked a little bit. Then, you know, and It's just a total incomplete mess on the offensive side of the ball. Galladay leaves with a knee rib injury. He comes back. He doesn't get targeted. I think maybe he got targeted one time in the second half.
Yeah.
Evan got four catches. Evan wide open. Glennon can, you know, throws the ball behind him. Evan's spinning around. Look, he thinks an inside pass is coming. It's the outside. He has to spin
John
around.
Ross, too. John Ross
wide open. Threw it behind him. Yeah. They just can't execute, Jerry. It's just really, you know. You know what, show. I try not to curse on this podcast. I know sometimes I lose it, but it's a total you know what show, everybody. The Freddie Kitchens thing, if anybody thought there was going to be a miracle with Freddie Kitchens coming in, you know, you saw that. That's not happening. They went with Brennison, a left guard. They finally got Matt. Hey, this is what I talk about. You know, honestly, Jerry, this is what I talk about talent evaluation, too. Like, dude, Brennison's been healthy for the last 3 weeks, and they stuck with Matt Skura. And to me, I look at Matt Skura every game like, what are you – get Brennison in there.
Right. What's he doing to
Could he do any worse?
Right.
You know, so finally, Judge puts Brennison in there in the second half yesterday. And then Will Hernandez, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I say?
Just when you think like, maybe he's working out. Nope.
Dude, he starts off the year pretty steady.
Right.
Pretty decent.
Right.
Maybe he's back. Maybe you got a right guard as a door. And then he's – the last three, four games, he's just been – He's just been horrific, you know. So he'll be gone. Obviously, he's not going to get. I'll be shocked if he gets a second contract. But if Dave was still here, I would be like, "Well, that's a possibility." Let me save face, second round pick.
Yeah.
But Dave's not going to be here. I think that's we know that. You know. So
no, he's not.
And so what are you going to do? I mean, you know, Solder gutted it out and did not play that bad. They just can't run block. They're not a good run blocking line at all.
Right.
Billy Price. It's just a mediocre center at best. The Bengals couldn't wait to get rid of him. couldn't believe somebody actually wanted to trade for him, probably. They probably laughed their ass, you know what, off in the building when somebody rang the phone and says, hey, we'll take Billy Price. You want B.J. Hill, pretty dependable defensive tackle? What? No, is this a joke? No, this is Steve Gettleman. Oh, Steve Gettleman. Oh, no, it's not a joke. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sounds good, Dave. Let's do it. Okay, maybe you don't know me. I'm a hog molly guy. Oh, yeah, no, Dave. You're a hog molly guy, no question about it. You're one of the best we've known. You know, let's make that trade. You know, Dave, you know, I feel like we're getting short-circuited here. You know, we'll give it away a quality set. But, all right, Dave, you convinced us. Let's make the trade.
They're like, let's not press it and ask for the extra third-round pick because he may give it to us. But you know what? We'll take B.J. Hill. Yeah.
I'm sure the Cincinnati general manager, I'm not sure who it is right now, but I'm sure the Cincinnati general manager and Zach Taylor probably thought it was like an April Fool's prank when they got that phone call from Dave Gettleman. But Billy Price is Billy Price, you know. Jerry, I'm going to say this once. I'm going to say it 1,000 times. When a team drafts a guy number one, and they have no problem trading him, releasing him, there's something up there. You know? So
when they don't rush for that second contract, one of the tweets I want to bring up because this was so Bob Glauber would appreciate this if he listens. This is a millennial thing to say. One of your tweets was the most ratioed that I've ever seen.
This is over my head now. What does that mean, ratio?
Ratio means there were more replies than likes, which is a bad thing, usually. For whatever reason, whether they're aiming it at you, Chris, which they weren't, or aiming it at the content. So the tweet that got ratioed, right? So it got 283 replies, which is insane. Only 138 likes and 88 retweets. Some of those were quote tweets, right? The tweet that got it was Joe Judge after the game. I saw a lot of things heading in the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
And every Giant fan alive is on the same page. I'm pretty sure all 283 responses, I think I read about 280 of them were just, you got to be, what game are you watching? You got to be kidding me. Is the direction down the toilet? What do you mean? So aside from all the decisions he's making in game that are just have been horrific and laughable and annoying, to insult our intelligence like that. Look, I don't know what to expect in a presser, but here's what I would do if I was Judge coming into that presser. Hey guys, this is our team right now. Okay. Yes. We've had a lot of injuries. It's not an excuse, but this is who we are. Fire away. Not, well, I see a lot of things headed in the right direction. Like you, Joe, the crosshairs are on you now. Okay. This is your guys. This is your team. You got to own up to this. Don't lie to us. Be McAdoo at least and say, I got to look at the tape to everything. At least McAdoo was smart enough to say, I got to look at the tape. Right. And Joe Judge says that. But to say, I see things headed in the right direction, every Giant fan on earth had the right to get pissed off at that one, dude. So there you go, Chris. You have the most ratioed tweet that we've ever had. Nice work by you putting that quote out there.
And he's just buried himself with these presses, bro.
I mean, come on. Even Frances is chiming in.
Yeah, I mean, Judge has just buried himself, you know, by saying he's so positive things and guys are progressing. And look, you can't do that here in New York, Jerry.
No.
You can't do that here in New York. You, like you said, you know, most times these coaches are coming after an effort offensively. But listen, this is on me.
Yeah.
We stunk it up out there offensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got to get better. I don't know. This is all on me. The rest of the coaches, the offensive line, this is on all of us. You know, defense played well enough to win. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for that unit because they should have won the game.
Right.
And this is on all of us and our offense. You know, okay. So I'll answer questions, you know. But coming in, you know, does he really mean that? Probably not. I hope not. If he does, then this guy really should be launched.
Well, I felt like your boy Corleone with Carlo. Don't insult my intelligence. It makes me very angry. Like, I just felt like, why would you say this to Giant Nation
because,
right now?
You know, he has that, I'm always going to defend the players and never going to make them look bad in the media. And the point is not to make them look bad. The point is, in New York, you could do it both ways where you could appease the fan base by saying, yeah, no, we stunk it up. We got to get better, man. That's on me too. We're not blocking very well right now. We're not making decisions and we're going to get back at it, man, but we have to do better here.
You can make it right. You can make a general statement.
We're disappointing the defense here.
Right. Right.
I mean, you say that. And even if the Giant fans are down on you, they're not gonna. They're gonna still gonna be like, well, okay, yeah. Look, you get what I'm saying, Jerry?
100%.
You know, you can't come out after an offensive performance like that and say, you know, listen, I'm seeing progress with players. I'm seeing progress with what we're doing, dude. The fan base, mind you, this isn't, you know, just some kind of freak off year for the Giants. This organization has been horrific since 2011. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever, 2016. Oh,
no, you're right.
You know what I'm getting at. You know, so nobody wants to hear. This is New York, brother. Nobody wants to hear that, you know?
Yeah, there's a way to do that where you don't have to single guys out, Joe. Yeah. Just say, generally, we stunk. Okay, I'll open it up to questions. Like,
what's wrong with saying this? We don't single out a particular player, but you could single out a unit and kind of send a shot over their bow, like, yeah, these guys are fun, but we're just not run blocking at all.
Right.
You know, you say things like that, and the whole offense, like, oh, remember, you know, offensive line's reading, like, there could be changes, you know. Even Judge is calling us out now. You'd be surprised how that gets in play. It's like, oh, man, you know, now I'm sure team meetings on Mondays, you know, Judge is like, this is a bad block. We can't block here. I get it. But this is the New York media, bro. This is a very angry and frustrated fan base. And I tell you another guy, Jerry, you know, the venom is out towards Judge, no question about it. And you know what, Jerry? You've seen it, man. You read Twitter and you see it. You talk to friends and you see talk show and you hear talk shows. And the venom's really out towards Saquon Barkley right now.
Yeah,
too,
I know.
Bro.
It is. It really is.
The venom is really out. I never seen so many tweets as I've seen the last few days. Like, get rid of this guy.
Yep.
No way he comes back. Look at him dancing out there. Look, I mean, this guy, I even saw some people putting out there, this guy's a bust.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say Saquon's a bust, but I'm just saying you read the venom, right, Jerry? You feel the anger and frustration.
But the amazing thing, right, the amazing thing that I saw yesterday, the stat that said that he's the fastest in Giants history to all-purpose yards, the 4,011 or whatever it was, I thought, my mind is blown with that stat, that he's the fastest in franchise history.
Well, he had like 2,000 the first year.
Right, but yeah, whatever it was. But that's still, I just thought, oh my God. And you know, last year was a waste. The year before he had the ankle injury. This year he's done, you know, this year, you know, it is what it is. He's been a bust this year.
Oh,
but when you see the stat, you're just like, I couldn't believe that. I would have guessed maybe Tiki Barber, someone like that, but my mind was blown when I saw that. So anyway, sorry.
Boomer Esiason this morning, he kind of laid into Barkley.
Yeah, he did.
And he was saying about, you know, this kid just doesn't want to get, he doesn't want to get hit anymore. He doesn't, he's trying to avoid contact.
Yeah.
And you can't do that as a running back. Now, you could agree with that or not agree with it, but you see some of his runs. Yesterday, he did like this spin move at the sticks.
Yeah. He jumped up in the air and spun around.
He jumped up
first.
In the air one time. And I'm saying to myself, what is he doing? You know, and listen, you could agree or not agree with Boomer, whatever, but you know, Boomer's, you know, he's a former MVP. He's been around a long time in this league, man. And you know, a guy like that says something, you gotta, like, you know, take notice to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now Barkley had a couple of nice runs on it. Finally got it busted out on his own a little bit. He's not getting any help either. We know that. You know,
right.
I mean, the offensive line just doesn't run block, Jerry.
No,
they just don't move anybody.
Terrible,
you know, up front.
Terrible.
So, when we're talking about the game last week, we talked about it. You got to stay out of the third and longs. You got to try to run the ball. They couldn't.
Yeah.
They were in third and longs. Had time first half. Actually, Glennon was hitting on some of those third and longs, but that quickly changed. You know, and you got to convert your opportunities when Ross is open and it looks like he's got a bunch of green in front of him. You got to hit that pass.
Yeah.
When you're going vertical, you got to put it in a spot where if it's incomplete, it's incomplete. But you can't go the other way now. You know, you can't have an interception. When you got Evan, I think he was against a linebacker at one time. You know, when Evan's matched up on a linebacker and he's a couple yards beyond the defender and he's a big play, chunk play is there.
Yeah.
Got to connect on it. This is what this team doesn't do, Jerry.
Right. I mean,
this is nothing new. We're not shocking the world here with this podcast, you know. So that's where we're at, man. Hey Jerry, I'm pretty impressed with that Jalen Waddle kid, though, right, man? I mean, for Miami,
yeah,
he did some good things, and they held him under 300 yards, Jerry. In today's football, that's excellent, but they just got no help, dude, on defense.
Real quick, another stat you put out. 52 to nothing at the end of the halves. I mean, that's embarrassing both offense and defense, but I actually think that's more of an embarrassing number for the offense that we can't do any, we can't do anything at the end of halves or end of games.
Oh, yeah. No, I looked at that stat and said, oh, my God, what an embarrassment for the offense.
Right.
You know, I looked at it as the offense, Jerry, you know?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, there's just some embarrassing numbers. Embarrassing numbers coming out, Jerry.
Right.
That this team is producing. It's just incredible, so...
Yeah, this was the low point. This was, you know, I always say that it was a low point for me this week. No, this was hard to watch. This was when that one sequence where it was like sack, timeout, sack, punt. Like, I mean, that's just, you know, to avoid the delay of game. To me, even Myers, I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, wow, the announcers are saying how embarrassing this is. But this is the state of everything now, man. And now, look, I said before, I think Giant fans were 50-50 on Judge. I think it's 80-20 now. I really do. I think most people are saying, you know what, clean it all out, include Judge with it. You don't know what the Giants are going to do. But I think now he has just, like you said, man, he's hurt, killing himself with these post-game pressers and decisions in games. But the post-game pressers as well are just buffoonish.
And Jerry, you know me a while. I always talk about this, about let's look how you won a game. Or lose a game, you know. And last year when they lost games, it was tough losses, playing hard, right?
Yep.
Got an upset in Seattle. This year it's like, wow. You know, even, you know, some of the wins was like, oh, God, look at it, you know?
Yep.
And the losses are like bad now. Last year losses, Jerry, for the most part, was like, okay, hard-fought battles. Remember
right.
Tampa Bay?
Right.
Some of those games. And you said, okay, you know, this program's on the right track. Even
exactly.
when we lose, their battles.
Yep.
6-10 season. Wasn't supposed to do anything. And the loss is okay. You felt pretty good. And this
exactly.
year, even when they win a game, it's like, okay. You know, this year you're losing games where you're getting whipped up a little bit. The last two road games have been what, Jerry? The clunker in Tampa.
Right.
The clunker in Miami.
Right.
Wait till next week.
The win
against the Eagles is like, okay, did you really feel great about the team?
Yeah, and if it wasn't the Eagles, I would have felt like, oh, God, what a heart. But because it was the Eagles, I was ecstatic. But if it wasn't the Eagles, Chris, I'm like, that is a terrible win. You know, you said, like, if Jalen Reagor is just a half of what he is, or half of what he should be, game over. Eagles win that game.
Oh, if Gardner Minshew would have played.
Oh, forget it. Gardner Minshew would have put up 40.
But, you know, and now you're going to go to L.A. next week. You got the Cowboys in 2 weeks before Christmas. It's just not a good, like last year, it was a good feeling about the team, no matter what, a win or a loss, right? It was good. This year, that feeling is gone.
Completely different.
Judge went from a guy who really managed the sidelines well last year and didn't really cost him anything.
Right.
Right. To this year, it's like timeouts and headsets and this and that. And it's like, now, do you have that same feeling about this guy in the sidelines? No.
No trust at all. I have no trust anymore.
No. It's like the trust is gone between Joe Judge and the Giants fan base. And he's going to have to get it back because, listen, he's not – look, John Merrill loves him. But, you know, that doesn't mean he's coming back for sure.
Right.
What I mean by that is that we're going to have to see what they do with the GM, you know.
Yeah.
And if Merrill's going to play it like, okay, well, we're going to focus in on Jerry Foley, the new GM – and Jerry Foley says, okay, well, I want my own guy, John. And John goes, all right, we'll do that. Then you're going to have a new coach. You know, if John Mara decides, oh, Jerry, I really want you. And you say, I want my own guy. And John goes, well, no, we got to have our guy. And then you're going to walk. You might walk, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something we're going to talk. We are heavily going to. Look, it's December, my man.
Yeah.
It's December. So guess what? We are now a month away.
Yeah.
Today, what's today's day, Jerry? 6th, 7th, whatever it is.
6th.
We are now, the season ends January 9th. We are now a month away from really getting into this program and the off season and what's happening, what's going to happen, what I'm hearing is going to happen, and all kinds of crap, you know? Because the way this is finishing up, you know, it's not the love affair with Judge is getting less and less. You know?
I got a question for you. If you were Mara, would you relieve Gettleman now to do something, to at least start the search, or to, and twofold, start the search and give something to the fans at this point of this, you know, a 10th year of horrible football?
Yeah, I would.
Me too.
I would.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mara's, look, I think we're pretty safe to say Gettleman's not going to be back. But I'm not even quite sure Mara's even made up his mind on that yet. And trust me on that one, bro.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay? My God. Now, I'm not saying Gettleman's coming back.
Right.
But the usual John Mara wants to see how the rest of the season plays out.
Good Lord.
But look, Jerry, it's pretty, you know, pretty confident saying Dave won't be back. He'll be resigning. Yeah.
And resigning. Great job. Job well done, Dave. You've earned the vacation in Cape Cod for the rest of your life. Well done, Dave. Thanks.
So we'll get into this at the end of the year more.
Yeah.
But there's going to be changes, and now we're going to have to see what they do with, you know, as far as the general manager. He wants to keep, you know, Daniel or Judge and all.
Well, it's all up in the air,
dude. I just want to talk about one thing, Jerry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm thinking about this afternoon. As an Eagle guy, I was with an Eagle guy this morning, and he basically laughed at me saying, I told you it was a fluke. You guys beat us last week. Look what we did. Okay, you're right. Whatever. Yeah. Mitch was better than Daniel Jones. Okay. Whatever. I mean, this is what I had to hear this morning, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah. All right. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? A song? Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right. Yeah. Now, the look of your organization, we don't want to change another head coach every 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. 2 years for
McAdoo.
Mm. 2 years for Pat Shurmur. We don't want this look again another 2 years, Bob. This is what I'm gonna throw out to everybody. Not that the fans really give a crap. If they want George Conner, they don't give a crap. It's 2 years.
Yeah.
But the Mara, Tisch, the NFL, the perception, we can't have this, you know, instability, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you get the general manager that you want, and he wants his own coach, and that general manager turns this program around, Jerry, gets his guy in there, and they're turning this around, and you see next year, and they're heading for the play. Is anybody going to really give a flying you-know-what that they change coaches every 2 years for the last, you know?
No, they're not.
Is anybody going to care?
No. And it's a good point, because I was listening to Tannenbaum on, I think he was with Don LaGreca the other day, and he was saying, you know, Gettleman's gone, but I do think that they will keep Judge because of the continuity. And LaGreca was where we are now two weeks ago. Like, I've seen enough. Why are we protecting a guy who has a losing record for 2 years? He's got to go too. But Tannenbaum was saying that. But I think you're right. GM comes in and says, I'm bringing my own guy in. And they win. No one's going to think about the instability for 6 years. No one's going to care.
Right. You just look at it like, okay, well, they whiffed the last three, whatever, but this one, you know, this one they hit, right?
Right.
And I'm talking about a football guy from outside the building.
Yes.
That comes in here and changes the whole scouting.
Yep.
What type of players they want. The touch by the hand of God crap goes out the effing window. Putting a gold jacket on a guy before he even plays a snap goes out the effing window.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
The whole Hog Molly crap goes out the window. Mm. You know, you get a guy in here, you know, who wants a certain type of football player, and he gets his guy in here. And I'm not saying fire Judge. I'm not saying that, Jerry. I'm just saying that if you focus in on one or two guys, and that's who you want to run this organization, and if he turns around and says, well, Mr. Mara, I'll run your organization, but I want Jerry Foley. I want my guy. You know, he's a defensive coordinator for whatever, you know, for the Cardinals.
Robbinsville, right.
He's defensive coordinator from Robbinsville, and I want him, right. Mr. Mara. He's going to be my guy.
Right.
You can't say, oh, nah, we want, you know, no, our guy's Joe. We really like him because he gives great speeches, you know?
Yeah.
No. It has to be, okay, I get it. Okay, we're going to move on from Judge, and you could bring this Foley guy in from Robbinsville. We're going to run with that. You get what I'm saying, Jerry?
Yeah, 100%.
Chris. So it's not, you know, they really like Judge. I get it. But Mara better not have that mentality of, well, it's Judge. And if you don't want to work with Judge, again, move on. And go run another organization, which you would probably win two Super Bowls. Right?
Yeah, right.
That's where we're at, bro.
The GM has to be almost the leader of everything, and he makes the decisions, and that's it. He wants to bring in a new coach. Like, hey, you know, Judge can't stand on what he's done the last 2 years to say he deserves it and that, you know, he has the right to come back. No, I agree. It has to be on the new GM because we were talking about it. The last thing you want is a John Idzik, Rex Ryan situation. That does not work. And are we really going to make the mistake? I'm sorry, where we got rid of Coughlin, we did the opposite before. Got rid of Coughlin, brought in McAdoo, kept Jerry Reese, then fired both of them 2 years later. Hmm. Yeah, no, that doesn't work that way. So
yeah, it's tough. It doesn't really work like that in this league.
Nope. You know? No.
And just to talk about, you know, a little bit like a situation. Jerry, yesterday, right, watching the Dolphin game when it was, what was it, 13-6 or whatever it was, but did you really have a feeling that they were going to come back at all in that game?
No, they couldn't move the ball down the field.
But that's what I'm talking about as far as that 4th-and-3. Like, dude, go for it.
Right.
Go for it. Your defense is playing well.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But take some shots because, Joe, are you that confident in your offense that even if they start on a plus 45, take the shot, Jerry. Right? Exactly. Change it up.
Yes.
Know what I was really expecting yesterday, Jerry?
Yeah.
A fake punt.
I know.
I was like, there was a one time I said, oh, he's gonna fake it here. They haven't even seen that this year.
No, not at all.
So, it's, you know, a lot of times people have this facade of they're very confident and this and that, and they give these great speeches, and I'm a very confident guy. But that's just a facade, dude.
Yeah.
That's just a facade, because I think behind there, you're not very confident. You don't feel very good about this unit. You maybe not even feeling good the way you're coaching this team.
Yeah.
But you're going to put up this, you know, this nonsense. But it's all about wins and losses, and this team has regressed, Jerry.
Yeah.
Even in the win against the Eagles, it's still regression. The defense has played well for the most part.
Yeah.
I'll talk about the offensive side of the ball, even special teams at times. That's not a good look on a head coach in his second year when a team is regressing so much.
Yeah.
And Jerry,
yeah.
I don't want to hear about the injuries, and I want to hear about backup quarterback.
Nope.
So look around the league, dude. There's not many good offensive lines out there. Trust me, dude.
Right. Yeah, you brought up a good point with the defense. Like, they annoy me. We need a pass rusher. There's things we need. But they're holding teams enough to win now. Like, come on. Our offense, you said before, this isn't the 72 Dolphins. I felt like our offense is like the 1935 Giants. Like, 300 yards. This should be nothing in today's day and age. You can't get 300 yards? So, I think you're right. I think the defense, although there are things to nitpick and there are things to get mad at, especially the too much room in the first half and let Tua beat you down the field, guys, overall – They held the Dolphins to enough points where you should win that game. But it is what it is. This is where we are.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's where we are, 4-8. Cool. And you're going to play the Chargers next week. We're coming off a nice win. And you get to see your boy Herbert for 60
can't
minutes,
wait.
Jerry.
Can't wait to see him live against our defense.
And they're going to be fired up on the road as they're shooting. You know, they're going for a playoff spot themselves. So.
Got a little prediction, Chris. A hot take, if you will, Chris. Does Jake Fromm start that game?
Well, he's going to have no choice, depending on Glenn. Judge said yesterday that if Glennon's all right, and obviously I'm talking about Daniel can't play.
Yeah.
If Glennon's all right, Glennon's going to start. That's what Judge said yesterday.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see how Glennon is with his concussion now, you know?
Let's say those two are out. Is it Lewerke or is it Jake Fromm?
Oh, no. Fromm's in the active roster. No, it's definitely Fromm.
Yeah.
It's definitely Fromm.
You know? I think Giant fans want to see what he has. What the hell? Let's try it. Try him, too. Who else can play? Chris, can you play? We'll see.
So. Maybe we get the freshman year of Georgia of Jake Fromm. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, right.
Nice. But generally, all I could say is that, you know, he was behind Davis Webb in Buffalo for a reason.
Yes, that's right. Man, this is tough to get through these weeks, but the podcast gets us through it. Good stuff, buddy. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. Talk to the end of the week. Get into the Chargers.
Oof.
And we'll see what happens, you know.
All right, guys, we print next Sunday, so we are writing this edition now. Could be an ugly one with it. It could be a two-loss edition this week with the Chargers coming up. But to order a subscription to the Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. And for a digital subscription, go to magzter.com, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, hang in there. We're in this with you. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.